on this endeavor. May we hear your voice, Lord, as we wait on thee. Quiet our hearts to listen intentively, and we shall give you the praise, for we ask it in your precious name. Amen. The title of the message is Faith at its Finest. And once again, I would encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me to that great Hall of Fame chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. And I want you to note three little words found in verse 8, where it says, by faith, Abraham. We need to hold on to those words. They're mentioned four times in the King James, four times in the NIV, three times in the King James. By faith, Abraham. I'm sure that most of us recognize of the greatness of Abraham, there is no doubt. He is held in profound respect and reverence by three major religions of the world today. We can say that he stands out in human history as one of the greatest men who ever lived. The Apostle James in James chapter 2 verse 23 tells us that he was a friend of God. But what I want you to catch this morning is this. I want you to recognize the faith of Abraham. And the faith describing Abraham's life was not occasional, and it wasn't spasmodic. It was constant and steady throughout his life. It was a lifelong attitude of complete and confident reliance on God to keep his word. To put it simply, we can say this morning, that Abraham believed God. What would ever happen if we as a church and you as a Christian would really take seriously this matter of faith and really believe God? And that's what Abraham did, and many things happened. And it can happen to you, and it can happen to me. The writer of Hebrews describes him as Abraham the believer. He was constantly believing God. In verse 8, notice, by faith, Abraham. In verse 9, by faith, he made his home. In verse 11, NIV, by faith, Abraham. And I will explain that in a few moments. In verse 17, by faith, Abraham. You see what I'm trying to develop? Faith characterized the life of Abraham. Now, would to God that we had more believers who possessed this kind of faith that Abraham exhibited throughout his life. From the time that God called him, from Ur of the Chaldees until the end of his life, he put his total faith in the God of Israel. He is the outstanding example in the Bible of those who live by faith. As a matter of fact, Paul, the apostle, in Romans chapter 4, verse 11, speaks of him as the father of all who believe. If you want an example this morning of someone who really had faith, then look at Abraham. Paul says he's the father of all who believed. He trusted God. Dr. Vernon Grounds, former past president of the Conservative Baptist Theological Seminary, in one of his articles entitled Unfaltering Faith, was right on target when he said, and I quote, "Pray for an unfaltering faith that stands strong under life's greatest precious." Under life's greatest precious. The pressure that comes to all of us. We need it tenaciously to have that faith, to know that God is going to see us through. Whatever that problem might be this morning that you're facing, sickness, death, persecution, whatever it might be, the example that we need is the example of Abraham, to have that faith to believe that God is going to see us through. I say to you today that a strong and steadfast faith is the greatest need of the hour for each and every one of us. Now, just a word about faith. If we see something with our eyes and hear it with our ears, we will be able to discover whether a thing is true or false. And the same is true of faith. Faith is the certainty that things unseen are one day going to come to pass. Faith is the confidence that God is going to bring to pass all those things that He has promised in His Word. Note the two words, certainty and confidence, and there you have faith. The certainty that God is who He is, and the confidence that God is going to do what He says in His Word. Now, this is the background that leads up to this fascinating figure of the man called Abraham. Four things stand out in the verses before us. For one thing, as we look at the chapter, we find what I'm going to call the obeying of faith. The obeying of faith. And we see it there in verse 8. It says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. In Genesis, Moses tells us in chapter 12 that God called him. And it says, and Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. That's how he went. Now he was 75 years of age when he heard the call of God. You could be 75 here this morning, or 65, or 85. It doesn't matter. At any age, God can call you. And as a matter of fact, as we study the Bible, we find out that He's always calling. The call of God is to salvation to all people. The call of God is to separation. As Christians, we need to come out from the world and to be separated. The call of God is to service. That's not just something given to the minister. That's the God-given privilege of every single person here this morning as a Christian, to be totally involved in the service of the King. So God calls at different times, different ages. But imagine He called Abraham at 75 years of age, and Abraham departed in obedience to God's call. And what do we have there? There we have faith obeying. Kenneth Wiest, New Testament Greek scholar, because of the present participle found here in verse 8, translates it this way: by faith Abraham, while he was being called, obeyed. Now what does he mean by that? He means that God called and Abraham obeyed. It was prompt obedience, immediate obedience to God's call. There was no hesitation. He didn't procrastinate, vacillate, postpone, put off. God called him, and the Bible says, and Abraham obeyed God. Kenneth Wiest, continuing, writes, Abraham's faith was so great that he was not particularly concerned as to what the nature of the country was. His faith displaced all concern as to his future in that country. He did not trouble to think upon the matter. Now what did he do? He put his hands totally in the hands of God. God was calling him. That's all that Abraham needed to know. And the Bible says that he went. What magnificent faith. What trust. Would to God that all of us would do the same this morning. But I want you to note, he could have acted differently. Instead of staying right there where he lived, he could have stayed right there, but he didn't. He set out with his family under God's direction to an unknown land that he had never seen. How many of us would go someplace that we had never seen before? that we know nothing about? Well, Abraham did. All he had to go on was God's promise to guide him and to provide for him. And he went. And do you realize this morning that by the very fact that he went out of obedience, that it has changed the course of human history? Because out of his going, eventually came a nation, the nation of Israel. And out of that nation eventually came the promised Messiah. Jesus was born. Can you imagine this morning if Abraham had not gone? If he had disobeyed God? Now, God still had a program. But this was God's program. This was in God's sovereign plan. You and I ought to think carefully today, very carefully about the decisions that we are going to make today, because whether we realize it or not, they are far-reaching down the road for tomorrow. We need to seek God's guidance in the choices we make and the action we take. Now that could include everything. Whether it's moving or whether it's marriage, God wants to be involved in your decisions. And that raises the question. You and I have decisions every day to make. And let me ask you personally now. Is God directing you to do this? Do you have the assurance? When you move, your marriage, your job, whatever it might be, is God in that? That's a question that we all have to answer. And the answer can be found very clearly by the Spirit of God and in the Word of God. And when they go together, you can have the assurance that God is leading you and directing you. But how many Christians start out without really knowing that God is guiding them? Isn't that the reason that the Spirit of the living God was given? That he may guide you into all truth. And Abraham went under the guidance of God. But here again, as I said just a few moments ago, he could have acted differently. He could have said, "No way, Lord. I don't know where you're leading me. I don't know nothing about that country. Just take a moment and listen to what Abraham was up against. He was going out as a stranger, a pilgrim, to a country he knew nothing about. He had no map. How many of you start out on a trip without a map? He didn't have it. And he had no purpose. God was just calling him. I'm certain there are those around him that must have laughed at him for what he was doing. But it didn't matter to Abraham, for God was going with him every step of the way. My, he didn't know where he was going, but he knew who was going with him. So he went. So shaking the dust of Ur from his feet, he marched off the map in obedience to the call of God. It was obeying faith. I want to tell you this morning, you and I can't live without faith. My Bible says, "And God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith." We all have faith. Whether we exercise that faith or not is another question. But right up front, it ought to be obeying faith. May I say to you that the proof of genuine faith is in one's obedience to God. Obedience is the very life of faith. And it is only when we obey God in faith that we climb the heights of spiritual intimacy and spiritual reality. And God will never disappoint your faith when you put him first. If you don't believe me, look at Abraham. In obeying God, the promise of God came to pass in Abraham's life. And there was the fulfillment of that wonderful promise, the Abrahamic covenant, way back in Genesis chapter 12. "And you shall be the father of a great nation." And so he was. Andrew Murray, in his book on Hebrews entitled The Holiness of All, was right on target when he wrote about this aspect of Abraham's life. He said, and I quote, God wanted to have Abraham alone with himself, separated from all he could cling to or trust in, that he might teach him to find his all in himself. And there you have faith obeying and faith finding. It's all in Jesus Christ. May I say to you this morning that Jesus Christ alone is your sufficiency. He alone is your security. You don't always have to be running off, going here and going there to get pumped up. All that you need is in Jesus Christ. He can be the sum and the substance of your life. Just to rely upon him. That's all that Abraham had. All that he had was God. And God was leading him. It was faith obeying. And I want you to know this morning, that's all he needed. Boy, that would be wonderful to get across to each and every one of us. We desperately need to put our total faith in Jesus Christ as our total sufficiency, no matter what we might be going through. Faith obeying. Well, let's follow that up with another point. From the obeying of faith, I want you to think for a moment of what I'm going to call the onlooking of faith. Now, we have it there in verse 9. Abraham had faith, but it looked beyond just the circumstances and the facts, and he saw something in the future, and he says in verse 9, by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents. Now notice the words found in verse 10. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And there you have the onlooking of faith. It never stopped in Abraham's life. Notice the words made his home there in verse 9. It means to inhabit as a stranger. And that was indeed what Abraham was. He was a stranger, a foreigner, a spiritual pilgrim. He didn't have any rights of citizenship. He traveled in a land that he never possessed. As a matter of fact, Abraham's descendants did not receive that land as their own until 400 years later, when Joshua led them across the Jordan River into the promised land. But Abraham had faith. The words there, promised land, in verse 9, are found only here in the Bible, and they refer to the land of Canaan, which most of us realize. The earthly Canaan, where Abraham's household lived in tents. It was only a foretaste of that heavenly country which God had promised him. But I want you to note, Abraham wasn't discouraged. He didn't complain. Because he lived for the future. And by the way, that's the way we all should be living this morning. Living for the future. We sing about it. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. My good friend, you're just a pilgrim. You're just passing through. And that's how Abraham looked at it. And though the only piece of real estate he owned was his burial ground, it didn't matter to him, for he continued to look for a city whose builder and maker was God. And that's the way we ought to live. He trusted God as he waited patiently for the fulfillment of the promise of that future heavenly home. He lived by faith as he saw the unseen. And that's what faith is. He lived by faith. You and I as believers need to begin to live our lives in the reality of the promises of God every day. We need to take our eyes off the temporal, off the transitory, and put them on the eternal God. God has promised each one of us who know him through his Son, Jesus Christ. What has he promised us? A heavenly home. That's what he said. Didn't he declare, listen to his words, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place, P-L-A-C-E, for you, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the promise of Jesus. What a promise. And we accept it by faith as a living reality. It's an onlooking faith. We look beyond to the results. And that's what Abraham did. Let me ask you this morning, are you, as a Christian, church member, are you living by faith in the reality of that promise? Do you live every day with a realization that one day you and I will be spending eternity with Jesus Christ and our loved ones? The reality of it, the factuality of it, that it's going to happen in that heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. Listen to what the Apostle John said that Abraham was looking forward to. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21, verse 2. And like Abraham of old, let us live by faith, ever realizing we're just passing through 70, 80, 90, 70, 80, 90, whatever it might be. And then we're going to leave this sinful planet. And we're going to be home. As certain as the sun will rise again, and it will, God's eternal Son, Jesus Christ, is coming back again to take you and I home to heaven, unless he calls us home before then. The onlooking of faith. Faith obeying, doing what God wants us to do. Faith onlooking, looking beyond what we see to what's going to happen one day in the future. That's faith. That's what the Bible teaches us. Let's continue in our study of Abraham. Another aspect. We have considered the obeying of faith. We have taken a few moments and looked at the onlooking of faith. I want us to take a few moments now to look at the overcoming of faith. The overcoming of faith. Now notice what it says in verse 11. If you have the NIV this morning, it says, by faith Abraham, even though he was past age. But then if you have the King James, it's interesting that it has, through faith also Sarah herself. And then the NIV introduces the word Abraham. Now, the NIV was an influence by the phrase later on in the verse, to become a father, believing that it can only refer to the male parent. To solve the problem, I believe that both Abraham and Sarah are referred to here by the writer because both overlooked the impossibility and the difficulties of producing a child by believing in the God who could perform the impossible. Now, we might translate the first part of the verse this way. By faith, Abraham, together with Sarah herself, received power to have a child, even though they were too old and Sarah was barren. So here we have both Abraham and Sarah who had overcoming faith. Now, for 25 long years, their hearts craved for a son. And they waited. The son that God had promised them. And at times I'm sure that their faith was tested and sorely tried. 25 years is a long time. But I want you to know they never gave up hope. It's found in the words there. Notice what it says in verse 11. He is faithful that promised. Now, those are two tremendous words this morning. He is faithful that promised. And these two giants of faith would tell each and every one of us in times of doubt and despair, trust God, rely on Him, don't give up. God does the impossible. We had a doctor several months ago standing behind this pulpit and telling us, never throw in the towel when it comes to physical diseases. The body, because it's made by God, can do miraculous things. You give the body what it needs, and it can heal itself. That's what he said. And I believe that. And here Abraham and Sarah, they waited, and they waited. But they knew that God could do the impossible and the incredible. Let me construct the scene before us. In order for God's promise, for Abraham to be the father of a great nation, to be fulfilled, naturally it was necessary for him to have a son. But here's the problem. Abraham had no children, and now both he and Sarah were, according to the natural order of things, beyond the age of conceiving. But this is wonderful. God doesn't work according to the natural. He works according to the supernatural. And that's what he did here. Recall again the words of verse 11. By faith Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And notice the result of such faith according to the words of verse 12. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Think of it. Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. But they lived to see God perform the impossible. And he did. Way back in Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, God asked Abraham this question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's the question. Is anything this morning too hard for your God? I put the question straight to each and every one of you. Is anything too hard for your God? Put in that question anything you desire. Anything that characterizes your life. Is your illness too hard for God to heal? Is your habit too hard for God to break? Is your broken relationship too hard for God to mend? Is that Christian attitude too hard for God to heal? To all of these questions and 1,000 more, the answer is a resounding no. Nothing, absolutely nothing in your life, in my life, is too difficult for God. For He indeed is the God of the impossible. Our big problems are nothing this morning compared to our big God. If we believe that, like Abraham did. Now it's up to you and me to believe that and then to live in the reality of it and claim the truth of it like Abraham did. What a man and what faith. And now my final thought. We have looked at the obeying of faith. We have considered the onlooking of faith. We have dealt with the overcoming of faith. Now let's get right into the heart of the matter and look at the offering of faith. Notice the dramatic account of it in verse 17 and 18. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Now, he who had received the promise was now about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him that it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Now, I want you now to totally understand and appreciate what Abraham was going through at this moment of his life. Now, here are the facts. Abraham believed in God's promise that he would have a son. And in the birth of Isaac, the fulfillment came. What God has said. But now, having received the promise, God turns right around and he puts Abraham's faith to the supreme test by asking him to give up the very son that he had promised him. And to do it out of a heart of obedience. I want to tell you, that was quite a crisis. I don't know how you would have responded or how I would have responded under the circumstances. God now was testing Abraham at faith's deepest level, and I might add, at love's deepest level. Because you never go that far in faith without having to love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He was asking for Abraham's dearest possession, Isaac, the son of promise. The utter abandonment of all that was precious to him. And that's going to come to each and every one of us. It could be a husband's embrace. It could be a wife's love. It could be a child. There's going to be very few people that will ever go through life without one day being in a corner where God is going to ask you to do the same thing that he asked Abraham, to give up, to surrender, totally to give yourself to him. Now, this was the climax of Abraham's life, the crowning event in his life of faith. Nothing in all of this had ever come close to this moment, the offering of faith. But I tell you, my Christian friend, it's in time like these that we really come to know the depth and reality of our faith. It's in the crisis of life that we find out how genuine is our faith. It's not our responsibility in times like these to ask why, but only to obey and offer God what he desires from us. I like what Griffith Thomas in his commentary on Genesis tells us. He said, what God desired was not Isaac's life, but Abraham's loyalty. That's what he wants from you and me. Abraham knew. He said to the servants when they went up to Mount Moriah, stay here, and I and the child will go up, and we'll come back. In the back of his mind, he knew resurrection was going to take place if his child was going to be taken. But God wanted Abraham's loyalty. And he still wants it today, your loyalty and mine, right up front. Boy, he makes it difficult, doesn't he, to become a disciple. He didn't say it was going to be easy. Now, that's not blind faith, that's not blind unbelief. It does the thing that seems contrary to explanation, but it does it trusting God by faith. In one sense, the life of faith always involves sacrifice. And yet Abraham knew that death was no problem with God. He could do the impossible. He could break down any barrier. Notice his confident faith in the words of verse 19. And I want to read it from the Phillips translation. Abraham believed that God could raise his son up, even if he were dead. And he did, in a manner of speaking, receive him back from the dead. Because I want, and I believe, that when he scaled Mount Moriah, he literally gave his son over in death to the Lord. His loyalty. Now, what enabled Abraham to offer up his son as a sacrifice to God? Where did he get such dedication? I'll tell you where he got it. It was the faith in the God who could do the incredible and the impossible. Listen to me. The God who is the giver of life and the taker of life is also the God who is the restorer of life. And Abraham had that faith. And we need to believe that every moment and every day of our lives. I can remember reading some years ago about a missionary. Well, it was Dr. Tozer. He wasn't a missionary, but Dr. Tozer was one of the greatest prolific writers the Christian church has ever had. He worked among the Christian Missionary Alliance. And for years, he wrote in the Alliance Witness, a great church in Chicago, and God took him at about 63 years of age. But I can remember reading in one of his editorials how that he really wrestled with God when his own child was being called to the foreign field. And he said, it's easy for someone else's child to go, but to have your own daughter to go miles away, until God brought him to the realization that his daughter was going to be safer in Africa or wherever it was than she was going to be in these United States outside of the will of God. And when you come to that place, that's faith and that's trust. And Abraham had come to that place. He knew that God was the restorer of life. Faith offering is the highest faith possible. And from this day forward, you and I, like Abraham, need to be strong in faith, even through the difficult times of life. Because that's when faith is at its finest, as seen in this dedicated man. Notice the four-dimensional aspect of this man's life. Faith obeying, faith onlooking, faith overcoming, faith offering. Someone has put it, oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink of any earthly woe. Faith. The God who made the promise is going to fulfill the promise that he made. The God who said who he was and what he's going to do is going to complete it in his time. And we need to believe that. And believing it, we need to put our lives right in his hands and say, Lord, here's my life. I want you to use it for your honor and for your glory. Faith at its finest. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we believe that you have spoken to us in these moments. Thank you, Lord, for this man, one of the greatest men who ever lived. And as someone has said to me this past week, what a day it's going to be when we not only see our Savior, but we see and behold this man Abraham. Help us this morning to learn from his life. Heavenly Father, if there's anyone here this morning that does not know you, I pray in simple faith that they might look up and say, oh Christ, come into my life and save me. And then for those of us who do know you, I pray, Lord, that from this day forward, as we go through this new year, that it will be a life of faith, totally. All of our confidence, all of our hope, all of our trust, all of our faith is put in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we'll give you the praise, for we ask it in your precious name.